You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Kathy Barron. Breaking the rhythm a little bit, I want to start by asking you a question. Do you get any magazines, printed or digital, in your life? So just think about that. Hold on to that in your head. So Kathy and I talk about why she decided to publish a magazine. Not just any magazine, a trade magazine. Not just any trade magazine, a very niche, extremely vertical market digital magazine. So you'll want to listen and find out what the magazine is and who it's for. Or actually, you could cheat and look in the show notes, but you know, those are the options. Kathy and I had never talked before the interview. I reached out to her and I asked her if she would come on the show. So she probably did not know about me that I myself planned to be in the print journalism world when I was a youngster, when I started my higher education. And my longtime joke has been that one of the things that happened while I was in college is that the print journalism market collapsed on itself. So I can be a super geek about publishing and journalism and broadcasting. And Kathy probably had no idea that that was coming. So when I discovered Kathy's magazine, I was instantly curious about who is the person that is putting this together and what is driving this decision and the production and how are they getting it done. I was honestly probably a little bit needy and desperate to find out the details of the who and the what was behind this creation. You know, just being honest. Lucky for me, Kathy is kind enough to answer all of my very curious, possibly prying questions. So with all that, let's get to it. Kathy Barron, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm so happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
Amy, I was born ready. Let's do this.
I love it. I start all my interviews asking people what part of the world they call home. So where are you?
I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Nice.
Right across the Bay Bridge from San Francisco. Yeah.
Okay.
Jump.
Very, very good. Love it. Love it. I have one more warm-up question, which is, what is a recent compliment or word of kindness that you've given to somebody? It can be something tiny. It can be something from earlier today, just something to honor that.
Well, we just had our Women Who Podcast Awards announcement, the winners. So this was kind of, it's not a general thing, but I'm sincerely, genuinely inspiring and complimenting all of the winners and the work that they do and, you know, the dedication that it takes, as you know, to create a podcast. And that just warms my heart when, you know, people are enjoying what they're doing in podcasting.
Yeah.
Especially if they're not getting the bling and the change.
Is there bling and change out there for podcasting? Just checking.
Okay. There is. There is. But as we all know, it's not like the celebrities where it just automatically happens.
Yeah, I was making a little bit of a joke there. But okay, so topic of the day. To be honest, Kathy, you are in a very unique spot today. 99.9% of the people who've been on the show are people who have asked to come on. And I actually reached out to you and I said, hey, I'd love to have you on the show and I'd like to talk about this. And you came back and said, okay, fine. Because I want to talk to you about you starting a magazine in modern times, maybe even this year. Not just any magazine, but a very specifically niche trade magazine. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So you mentioned it. You threw that in about the awards, but tell everybody about what the magazine is and who it's for.
So Women Who Podcast Magazine is a quarterly digital magazine, and it's for women podcasters and listeners as well. It's introducing and featuring women podcasters who may not get the accolades that they deserve.
Sure.
So, you know, other podcasters can learn about others, but listeners can also find new podcasts that maybe they haven't heard of before. And it's just spreading the word about these independent women podcasters, because as you know, it's a hard road
yes,
to start a podcast as an independent podcaster and continue it for long term.
Yeah. So it is something I definitely know because it is a project I am embarking on myself. I heard about this very recently. It came into my awareness. When did you start this project?
In 21, April
Okay.
2021 was the first issue. I kind of thought about it the year before in the fall because I attended a conference that's very well known earlier in 2020, right before everything shut down for COVID. And there was this other podcast magazine being distributed at the conference. And I was like, okay, we'll see what happens with this if they really represent the independent women podcaster. And then I started seeing like Katie Couric and celebrities on the cover. And, the magazine was very hard to read. It was very packed with information and things were hidden that you couldn't really find. So by October of that year, I was like, okay, it seems like that's not going to happen. And, that muse in your head is like, well, you can create your own magazine. And I'm just like, what? What are you talking about? I went to art school. I realized this the other day, it was 20 years ago, for video production. And I had some experience with Photoshop, InDesign, that sort of thing. And so I was like, okay. So I talked to my friend Sandy Larries, who's in Australia, and she just started a magazine the year before. So I had to
Okay.
talk to her and say, either push me off the ledge or save me from throwing myself off this cliff. And she's like, sorry, but I gotta nudge you and push you over the cliff to get this done and get it started, because there's nothing out there
Yeah.
that's like this. So that's kind of how it started. And we just celebrated our 4th anniversary.
So I just was bouncing around in this space, not knowing about it. Okay, well now I feel badly, but I have a ton of questions because I'm like super curious about it. So I want to talk to you about. So you said you went to school and you studied video, but do you have any publishing experience before this?
None whatsoever. I wrote my first novel like in 2018.
Okay.
But I wouldn't really consider myself a writer. Like, that was my first book. I just self-published a kid's book, so it's very sporadic. My creativity is very sporadic, in that sense, but it's definitely something that I need to keep me sane.
Okay, the mark of a creator. If you drop them off in an empty room, they will make something. So, then with the podcasting though, you were at a podcasting conference. How long have you been podcasting? Let's talk about how you found podcasting as a listener, how you started your own podcasts. Like, what's your history with podcasting as a human?
So I started Women Who Sarcast in 2018, and it was just one of those. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine that was very sarcastic as well, and I'm just like, because we always crack each other up on the phone, and I'm like, we should start a podcast, right? Like, everybody else is doing it, why not? So
Looks fun.
that's kind of what started that. After a few months, it wasn't really happening for her, just life kind of got in the way for her.
Yeah.
So then it ended up just being me, and that's kind of how it shifted a little bit. So yeah, it's been last year I decided to end the podcast last April, and then at the end of last year I was just like, yeah, I'm kind of missing that. I'm kind of jonesing to podcast again. So then I came back in January to just do once a month. Before it was 3 times a month. So, and I can kind of manage that,
Yeah.
once a month with everything else going on.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine. So that you became a podcaster in 2018 and you were already aware of podcasts. Well, how did you become? Do you remember how you became when you started listening to podcasts?
I have to make a confession. I don't listen to podcasts.
That is so funny. I talk to so many people who guest on podcasts and or host podcasts and they don't really listen to podcasts. And I think it's really, really an interesting thing. But so you just jumped in because you knew about it.
Yes. Yeah. And, with video production, you're familiar with audio.
Yeah.
You're kind of behind the camera, in front of the camera, behind the mic kind of situation. So it was definitely a learning curve. I definitely learned a lot, but it didn't feel very awkward,
Yeah.
unnatural for me. My dad was in radio and TV, so maybe I got some of his DNA in that respect. But it's been a lot of fun, and the people that I've met have been amazing, lifelong friends. You know, the conference was definitely very inspirational, and
was that PodFest?
Yeah,
that means we were there together. Actually, that's the I was 2020. That was the last thing. So I live in Miami, and if you had listened, I interviewed Katie Kremitzos early on in the show, and she's affiliated with the conference, obviously. Well, and people listening may not know that, but that's the family that puts it together. And she was like, you should come back. And I was like, you know, I don't want to be the bringer of bad vibes, because the last time I came to this show, the world shut down. And I would like to say that I'm not so spooked, but I'm not sure if I have the mojo to like bring on another world pandemic by coming to your show, your conference. But that was a fun event.
Yes.
It was wild though, because we were all walking around that whole weekend like, what's this thing? And do you think it'll be anything? And, you know, and then you got on an airplane and flew home. But, you know, like within
weeks.
It was
so weird because they had all the hand sanitizer.
Everything, yeah.
Right. They had what they thought was needed. And I don't think it was until later on, obviously, that it was more airborne. But
no, yeah, we did not know what we were doing. But we were just a few weeks away from washing our grocery bags in, wearing, you know, like scarves around our face to go to the grocery store. It was a very strange time.
And stocking up on toilet paper. And
it was a very strange time to be alive. Yeah. But yes. So that was a fun event. And it's interesting how many things tie back to that conference. So you were not a listener. You do have a podcast. You develop good friendships. You're obviously very enjoying it. You go to a conference, so on and so forth. You get the idea for the magazine then from another magazine. I clearly have not been paying very much attention to the fact that there were magazines related to this trade that was available at the show. I don't even remember. So
it was called the Podcast Magazine.
The Podcast Magazine.
It was being distributed. They were giving out free.
So I must have seen it. So, did you have an attraction or a pull to the format of a magazine, as opposed to like, you know, an email newsletter or a Substack feed or a YouTube channel?
I think the magazine just kind of popped in my head because of the podcast magazine. I didn't really consider a blog or Substack or YouTube. Like, that didn't even come into my mind. It just went straight to, okay, I need to create a magazine. I did know it was going to be digital, because printing anything these days is like astronomically expensive.
Yeah.
So I knew digital, and I knew quarterly because I knew that's what I could handle. Because I have two writers that are on staff.
Okay.
That do the interview articles, and then me, and that's it. Like, I do all the layout. I do interview articles myself. I do the topic articles, you know, everything, you know, I do pretty much myself. So
that's okay. That was definitely one of the questions, because I know that you list yourself as founder and editor in chief. I looked through the magazine, but I did wonder how many other people were involved. So it's just the three of you doing the interviews, the writing, the layout, the programming, the decisions, all of the things. And you have an awards program.
That's new this year. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, and you all electronic. Do you ever have dreams of stepping into where you will distribute physical copies at like an event or mail them out or anything?
No, not going to do it.
Totally not going to
happen.
I think it's like really interesting because it's like media about media, it's like a sort of meta thing in my head. And so the question about why a magazine is interesting, because it is hard to get people to jump from platform to platform. So like, it's like read a magazine. I mean, people do it, but like read a magazine about watching a movie or read a magazine about listening to a podcast. That's like a very big jump. And so I was like, I'm super curious, like where the attraction to starting a magazine like came from. And so that was where that came. All right.
Well,
so
and I think it would make sense, you know, as far as the layout, and, you know, I wanted it to be an interview article. Like, we personally interview the people. We don't send them an email with 20 questions. We personally spend time with them, learn about them as people and their podcast, get their personality, because you can't really get that through an email with, answer these 10 questions. And so I want it to be personable. I want to talk to the podcasters. I want to hear their story. And even though there's similarities in everyone's story, everyone has their own unique background, why they started their podcast, what their story is. And some of them are just hilarious. So I enjoy that part to get to know the podcasters. And also in the magazine, we have topic articles that help with pod fade, or if you want to start your own podcast, or the last issue I had an article about ageism in podcasting. Like, I am not afraid to push the envelope. Like, if there's a topic that I feel that needs to be talked about, we're going to talk about it, and I think it's important that we talk about it. I think 27, 29% of podcasters are women. It's like, I don't know where they get that number from. That's what I would like to know, is
Because I was going to
how they're
ask you
getting
that.
that percentage. This is
I
something
was.
that, like, Edison or Insight, whatever, whoever does the ratings or whatever. It's like, where are they getting that information? But
Yeah.
that's the number that's floating around. So
So that's really interesting. And I, like you, I have a lot of the healthy dose of salt that I take with any metrics about podcasting, because it is just kind of like, it's like, well, all right, but not everybody counts everything in the same way. And who are you? Where are you getting things? But so, as somebody who fits the title, like I came across a thing that said women who podcast, and I was like, wait a second, that's me. I felt like I had walked into a truck stop and found like the personalized license plate, key ring, which that's a my name is Amy, and so there's always an Amy, but it was like I felt like, hey, wait, that's me, that's fine. But I was wondering, like, how did you have any concept of what the marketability or the size of the audience that you could reach in this trade magazine would be before you started?
I didn't really think about anything beyond the fact that this is what I wanted to do.
I would like to start a
Because
magazine.
it was going to be created regardless. Like, I was going
Okay.
to do it. Like, that's how I do projects. It's like writing a book. It's like, I have this idea. I lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico at the time, and I wanted to do a web series actually about this concept that I had for the book. But then I moved back to California and didn't have a job quite yet. And so I'm like, okay, well, I have this idea for this web series. Why don't I try to write a book? I've never written a book. San Francisco has that national novel writing
Yep.
contest. So I did it. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do this contest. I'm going to write this book. And I wrote like over a little over 50,000 words in that month. It was a shit show of a novel. Like, I had like too many characters, too many plots, too many subplots. It took me 6 years to sort through it to come to some sense of it. But when I get my mind set on something like that, I do it. Doesn't matter what it's going to take, what risk it's going to take. I mean, the money, definitely, I think about that. But for a digital magazine, it's very low overhead. Granted, I'm not really making any money on it, but it's also something I'm very passionate about. And creatively, it definitely is very satisfying for me.
All right, we're going to talk about more about that, but I want to talk directly to the audience for a second and invite them into the conversation. For every episode, I post a discussion question on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. So I invite you to go and check it out. Join us in the conversation. I'll be there. I'll invite Kathy to join us. It'll be a great conversation. It'll be tons of fun. All right. So back to what we were talking about. So you jumped in because you were passionate about it, and you had a lot of drive to talk about it, which is your MO for projects. It sounds like when you want to do something, you jump in. So I think it is really interesting because you touched on something that is true. There's nothing in the way of anybody starting a magazine or a podcast, generally speaking. I mean, there could be, if you get super granular to like be obstinate about it, sure, there can be small obstacles, like you have to have like some things, but generally speaking, the barriers are very, very low. And so you jumped in. And what was involved? How long did it take you to get going off the ground? Did you initially have like a groundswell of support? Like, what was your startup story with this.
So October is when I was like, okay, I need to create it myself. Because I also come from the mindset of something, if there's a gap somewhere, then, fill that gap, like create something to fill that gap. And that's kind of how I felt with the magazine. So April, that was October 2020. So April 2021 was our first issue.
Okay.
And it was, I mean, it's like with your first episode of your podcast. It's like very, it's like you don't want to go listen to it again after being
Right.
doing after doing it for 5 years. That's kind of how I feel about the first issue. It's like it was very, I mean, I'm not a professional to begin with, but it was very amateurish. It was very like simple. And I feel like it's evolved a little bit since then. But it's what I wanted to do was, highlight and give accolades to independent podcasters.
Yeah.
And, I've always been of the mindset that I'm here to serve others with, however I can support people, that's why I'm here. And I was a massage therapist many lifetimes ago. For 7 years and had my own business. And that's because I wanted to be of service to people who, most people think massage is a luxury and it shouldn't be considered that. It should be something that should be part of your health plan. It should be part of your preventative medicine. And that's how I wanted to be for my clients. So I was very much as far as how much it was and, very, flexible as far as that goes, because I wanted them to get the body work because they needed it. And that's
Yeah.
kind of how I see with the magazine. It's like I'm here as like a tool for women independent podcasters to get noticed, get more noticed, be part of a community. And it's not just a magazine, it's a community of independent women podcasters. And we need that sense of community because
Yeah.
it's very limited in the podcasting world for women. And I think having a space that is just for women podcasters is huge because, as I've learned, if I'm in a space with women and men, it's a different vibe. But when I'm in a space with just women, it's high vibing for sure.
Yeah. And it's definitely it's definitely, I would say it's a factual statement. Even though the legacy gatekeepers in the world of broadcasting and media overall are basically gone. I mean, as we have this conversation, like media is going through a massive shuffle, whether you're talking about broadcast television or podcasting or Hollywood, like insert your creative system and it's all getting mixed up. But the control and the leadership in most of those organizations, including podcasting, is still predominantly men. And it's a really, really interesting thing that it has continued to stay that way. And so I agree with you that there is a tremendous opportunity. And I talk to people whenever I get the chance about it because there is no support system for indie anything necessarily, but indie women specifically, I do not see a support system. And I would extend it beyond podcasting to be all indie creators. So, I mean, there are pockets of support. And if you've got a support group and a team, that's fantastic. But generally speaking, when you, I am similar to you. I'm like, hey, I can do this. And I Google it and I'm like, there's nothing in my way. Let's go. But a lot of women are not like that. And so there is a gap. And where that gap is, there's also the potential for people to create almost predatory systems that that they try to sell to people who are starting up for things. And so, that's one of the reasons that I think that there is an opportunity for many grassroots organizations and to support independent creators. When I say grassroots organizations, I kind of think that means indie creators coming together to form coalitions and communities and collectives to support each other. I'm not an expert though. That's my thought in my head that would be very helpful for people as they are starting these things. People who are doing the same things you're doing, people who, when you walk into a room and they say, you say, "Hey, I think I want to write a book, make a movie, launch a YouTube channel." They don't say, "Oh, why?" You
Yeah,
know?
exactly. It's like you want to encourage others to do what they want to do creatively, and that's one of the reasons why I did the awards this year. I was very on the fence about doing an awards, but I also want to be part of the solution of creating more women independent podcasts. So I want to create a sponsorship, like a scholarship slash mentorship program for women who don't necessarily have the funds or the resources to start a podcast, and maybe, with this scholarship, and then that, we kind of mentor them for maybe a year, because I feel like that first year is huge. If they can get through that first year, then the percentage is higher for them to be successful. And if they have someone that mentors them and gets them through that first year, then, we can have more women podcasters.
No, I mean, because the concept of podcasting, audio is more simple than video, like 100%. The concept of podcasting is very simple. There are millions of people who have podcasts who, stand as an example that you can do it with very little equipment and make it very simple. But then the grind of a solo independent creation, right, is that stuff changes. So, like back in 2016 was when I did have my first podcast. And I used a software called Pamela to record the interviews on Skype. So Pamela and Skype. That's how old I am, folks. And once upon it, one day, those two softwares just decided that they were not going to talk to each other like ever again. And that I was like on, it's like, okay, so now what? Like, what are people going to do? So, and that's the kind of thing where having access to somebody else who might be doing the same thing, you can be like, hey, what are you going to do? And that's, you feel less like you're standing in an echo chamber by yourself. So you and I have never actually spoken before today. This is our very, very first connection. So I do want to, I'm going to pick a little bit more. You've been very forthcoming on your motivation as a person and your drive as a helper. Simon Sinek wrote that book, Start With Why. And so I want to talk a little bit more about the why. If you want to go back, it's not a new book. The whole book is summed up in the title. It's a good book, but I don't know that, start with why. That is kind of that's kind of the whole thing. So you have this idea for starting a magazine. You represent the target audience. Like, but what is the, it's a labor. Like, this is, you've been doing it for many, many years, which is very impressive. Quarterly publication. You've got the motivation yourself. Like, talk a little bit about the motivation to continue to create this and what you feel about it.
I think the podcasters are what keep me going every issue, because, on the website we have a get featured form. So if they're interested in getting featured in the magazine, I read through those, and just the energy and the passion that comes through why they want to be in the magazine, because that's one of the questions on the form, is it just makes me realize how many women out there want to get more exposure, be part of the community, be part of something that represent women podcasters. And, that keeps me going every issue. And it is a labor of love. I have a day job, a full-time day job on top of it. So, that's not so creative, but that's why I keep my creative projects outside of my day job, because it keeps me. It's that balance, I think just knowing that the podcasters that are featured are very appreciative, and they want to tell their story, whether it's written or audio on their podcast or video, and they just want to be recognized for the hard work that they're doing, because they aren't getting paid. They're not getting sponsorships. This is a labor of love for themselves as well.
Yeah. So I think the estimate is there's officially, if you just do like the raw count, there's 4 million podcasts or something like that out there, but most of them are not even active. It's I think it drops to like less than 500,000 if you look at active podcasts. And I don't have any idea what active podcast means in terms of data. And I also I don't know of a directory where they divide it by the gender of the people who produce it. So I don't know how people get the estimate of female creators versus non-female creators. That's probably not how they would break it down anyway. But what vision do you have, or hopes or thoughts about the growth of this magazine in the future?
So once again, the scholarship mentorship program, as far as the issues themselves, I really want to bring on a couple more interview writers, because the more people I can have in each issue, the better. Our anniversary issue is larger than the other issues, so I think this last April for our 4th year anniversary, I think we maybe have had like 13 or 14 podcasters featured. But the normal, like I would churn out like 4 or 5 interview articles myself. And I got to the point where it's like, I can't really do this anymore. I was experiencing a little bit of burnout. And so now each writer does 2. So that's only 6 people an issue, which is great, but it would be even better if that was maybe 10 or 12 each issue. And then we could feature more people in the anniversary. So that part's a little hard because I think, it's one thing to be a writer, but to interview someone and then write about the interview, it's hard to do. And, I'm very selective in who I bring in to do the interviews. So that's why I'm kind of taking my time with building that. But that's what I would like, is to kind of bring in more people who write, whether interview articles or topic articles about podcasting or stress or mental health or, whatever they want to write about.
So, and how do you, now I think I found, how did I find you? I probably found you through a list of awards somewhere, and then I checked out the website and followed you on social media. How do people find you?
So we're on Instagram at Women Who Podcast Magazine. I'm on LinkedIn under my name, Kathy Barron, and then our website is womenwhopodcastmag.com.
And do you find that the podcasters are reaching out to you, like, and saying, "Hey, I want to be a part of this. How do I get it?" Or are you sometimes doing research and finding podcasters and inviting them into the conversation?
It's a little bit of both. I did on LinkedIn, I like posted a job, and that like 52 people responded, but
For
only
that's
maybe
for the that's for the
for
writers,
the
right?
writing. Yeah.
How
But
do you
for
find the
the
podcasters?
featured,
Yeah.
the podcasters, mostly it's them filling out the Get Featured form. Yeah, for the featured, for the up and coming, we have an up and coming segment, which I think you were part of
Probably. I
this last
definitely filled out
issue.
all of your
Yeah.
things. And you were like, why? And I was like, because I fill out all of the forms.
So the up and coming segment is for those podcasts that are less than a year. And so we just basically list them to kind of give them a little shout out as well. And most of the time I have to look for those people, because I think they're so new. And I remember when I was just starting out, I wasn't really looking to be in a magazine, or I was just focused on just trying to get an episode out every week, But there's also a button on the Get Featured form webpage that they can fill out a form for that too.
So, all right. So that is very interesting. Now let's go back to the very first episode back in April of 2021. How did you figure out who was going to go in that first episode?
Well, of course, like with anything, like when you start your podcast, you look to your friends, right? First. So that's kind of what I did, because there was this group of women podcasters that I had met at PodFest the year before. And so I reached out to them and asked if they wanted to be in the magazine. And I think maybe there were like 5 or 6. I'm not even sure. I'd have to go look to see who was featured. And I actually dedicated the issue to this woman podcaster who had passed away unexpectedly. And so, She was a good friend of mine, so that was kind of like a dedication to her. And so, yeah, I think I just started with the people, the podcasters that I knew already, and that kind of got the ball rolling. So,
Very nice. And has it been growing every single month? Are people finding you and subscribing and doing all of the
yes,
things?
it's definitely been, this year has been, my focus has been like networking and getting the magazine out more. So it's definitely building some momentum, and the awards also helped with that.
That's a wonderful outreach tool too, because it's a big incentive. I can't
Yeah.
imagine that anybody would like be like, no, I don't want to be in the magazine, but maybe that's just because I'm just like, where can I put, where can I list this? Who can I tell
Yeah.
about my show? You know, would you like to hear? You know, like, so that's the way we do. All right. So you mentioned the website and you mentioned the Instagram, but in a second, we're going to do the final super fun questions, but like take a second and directly tell people how they can support the magazine, how they can get involved and how you'd like for them to follow up.
Well, you can go to womenwhopodcastmag.com. You can purchase single issues. You can also subscribe for yearly. The single issues are $5.99. Yearly is $20 for four. You can advertise if you'd like. And you can write for the magazine as support. You can, there's other back issues that are free and less than the $5.99 if you're so inclined to kind of see what it's like. And I think just get the word out. And we also have a podcast promo swap page on our website because it's important, I think, to kind of network and collaborate with other podcasters. So there's that option. And I think anything that you do like that is supporting the magazine in my mind.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that. I love all of it. I love all of it. I love it. And I've loved learning the story behind it. Are you ready for the final fun questions?
I think so. I
I
don't
know. I put a lot of drama into it, but really
know.
don't be concerned. All right. Question number one, how do you feel about leftovers? Like from a meal you've made before or like takeout? Love it or hate it?
Was going to say that reminds me of the TV show Leftovers. Have you seen that show?
No. Oh, wait. Wait,
Was a
the
while ago with
was it a TV show or a movie? Is that the one where they
it's a
stay?
TV show where
Then no.
they start disappearing and the
Oh
people that are
no.
left over. You
I
should
have
check it
not
out.
seen that.
Anyway, leftovers. I enjoy leftovers. Yeah.
All right. Would you rather live in a hot climate with no air conditioning or a cold climate with no central heat?
It's got to be the cold. Like, I can't do the extremes, even though I grew up in New York State. I haven't been there forever since 87. So if I went back to a hot, there's no way I would die. I would certainly die for sure.
You just melt into a puddle. All right. So on like a weekend night, like a Saturday night, we're recording this on a Saturday, so use today as an example. If you want to go out and do something fun and social and stuff like that, what's a weekendy type fun activity that you enjoy? Is it like dinner out, movie, comedy club? Do you do something like physical? Is it something crafty, dancing, karaoke? What sounds like fun?
Well, it's funny you should ask that because a friend and I are going to the Oakland Roots soccer game tonight
Oh, fun.
at the Oakland Coliseum.
Okay.
So if you're out there, say hi.
It will have been 2 months
check
ago, but if this was a live radio show, that would be great.
Yeah, I like to do like we have WNBA now in the city. So, go to a game or
Okay.
just hang out with friends. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. That's it. Kathy Barron, thank you so much for being an amazing guest today on the show.
Well, thanks, Amy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again. Please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links
for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.